First reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 20. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. John 13. It was now the day before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He had always loved those in the world who were his own, and he loved them to the very end. Jesus and his disciples were at supper. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, the thought of betraying Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him complete power, and he knew that he had come from God and was going to God. So he rose from the table, took off his outer garment, and tied a towel round his waist. Then he poured some water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel round his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?" Jesus answered, "You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later." Peter declared, "Never at any time will you wash my feet." "If I do not wash your feet," Jesus answered, "you will no longer be my disciple." Simon Peter answered, "Lord, do not wash only my feet then. Wash my hands and my head too." Jesus said, "Those who have had a bath are completely clean and do not have to wash themselves except for their feet. All of you are clean, all except one." Jesus already knew who was going to betray him. That is why he said, "All of you except one are clean." After Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer garment back on and returned to his place at the table. "Do you understand what I have just done to you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and it is right that you do so, because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You then should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you, so that you will do just what I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. Slaves are never greater than their master, and messengers are never greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice. I am not talking about all of you. I know those I have chosen. But the scripture must come true that says, 'The man who shared my food turned against me.' I tell you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. I am telling you the truth. Whoever receives anyone I send receives me also, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me."
Our second reading this evening is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Your life in Christ makes you strong, and his love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and you have kindness and compassion for one another. I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble towards one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And look out for one another's interests, not just your own. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honour of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you so much for your word to us. And we pray this evening that we will have open hearts and open minds. And that by your Spirit, you would enable us to hear and receive all that you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. About 15 years ago, I dislocated my kneecap. I will spare you the gory details, but suffice to say it was a very painful experience, and it took a long course of treatment to help me recover, including a number of weeks using a walking stick and quite a lot of months of physiotherapy. Now, I was surprised during this time to learn the importance of knees. I didn't realise I used my knees half as much as I did. And what seemed like very basic tasks suddenly became impossible. I also made another discovery during that time. And that is, I don't particularly like being dependent on other people. You see, now I needed help doing simple things. I needed transport, because I wasn't allowed to drive. If I visited friends, I tended to sit on the floor because I liked it there, I was comfortable. But now I needed a chair because I wasn't allowed to sit on the floor. I needed a hand getting on and off of escalators. And it was a complete learning curve for me, but one which I don't think I'm the only one to experience. Because I think most of the time we find it hard to depend on other people. We like to be independent. We like to be in control, to choose what we want and to provide for what we need. And it can be hard sometimes to have to say that we need help because we can't manage on our own. Now, I get the impression that Simon Peter was an independent kind of guy who liked to be in control of everything. He was certainly the only disciple who expressed his outrage at Jesus washing his feet. "Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?" he asked Jesus. And after Jesus answered him, he responded, "Never at any time will you wash my feet." He couldn't let Jesus do that for him. It just wasn't right. Now, let me give you a bit of background to what was happening here, because this idea of washing feet is quite alien to us today. As people travelled during the day in Jesus' time, their feet got dusty. Now, it was etiquette that when someone arrived at a house, a servant would wash their feet for them. This was seen to be a very demeaning job, and because of that, the task was assigned to a Gentile slave, because it was considered too lowly a job for a Jewish servant to have to undertake. Now, Jesus and his disciples had arrived, and it seems that there was no slave there to wash their feet. And so they all sat down to eat. Now, remember, in Jesus' day, they wouldn't have gathered around a dining table, sitting upright on a chair with their feet tucked underneath out of sight. They were likely to be lying on their sides, propped up on an elbow, with their head towards the centre of the table, their feet pointing away. And just before they were about to eat, something unexpected happens. Jesus takes off his outer garment. Now, that left him in his tunic, which was like a long undershirt. And this garment was the kind of garment that slaves would wear when they were serving a meal. As if that wasn't shocking enough, Jesus then tied a towel around his waist and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Now, just because there wasn't a slave there to wash their feet, there was nothing to stop any of the disciples from performing this task for one another. It may have been a bit unusual, but they could have done it, but they didn't. As far as they were concerned, it was a job that was too degrading for them. Now, it certainly would have been appropriate for one of them to wash the feet of Jesus. But they didn't do that either. So however did they feel when Jesus, their master, began to do this for them? It may well have been a surprise if one of the disciples had performed the task, but for a master to serve his followers in this way was just shocking. And Peter is the one who shows his outrage at what Jesus is doing. And so he asks, "Are you going to wash my feet? Never at any time will you wash my feet." He just didn't feel he could let Jesus, his master, perform such a lowly task for him. What Peter did not realise was that in Jesus' act of servanthood, he was actually saying something far greater, far deeper than it appeared. Because this act was symbolic of the fact that Jesus was taking the nature of a servant and would humble himself even to the point of dying on the cross so that his followers could be made clean from their sins. That's what Jesus was getting at when he said to Peter, "If I do not wash your feet, you'll no longer be my disciple." We all need to be made clean by Jesus. Without him, none of us is ever going to be any good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is the only one who can make us clean through his death on the cross. That's hard sometimes to recognise our own failings. We want to be independent. We want to be self-sufficient. Even today, I meet people who say, "I don't need Jesus. I'm good enough, and I'm fine on my own." Well, maybe we aren't that bad. But the fact is, we're not good enough. And our imperfection cannot be tolerated by a holy God. And yet his love provides a way for us to be made clean through the sacrifice of his Son. When I think of that, part of me wants to cry out like Peter, "But you can't do that for me. Not you, Lord. You don't deserve it." But the truth is, we have to accept it. It is the only way. We need to actively receive God's love for us and his forgiveness for our sins through what Jesus did for us. Jesus' love for us and his act of servanthood for us wasn't just some grand gesture to make us feel good. It is a necessity. And sometimes that can be hard to accept. Peter and the other disciples didn't understand that at the time. My prayer is that we might grasp something of that truth today and through the week ahead. But of course, Jesus washing the disciples' feet wasn't just a symbol of all that was about to happen. It was also an example for us to follow. Jesus said, we read it in verse 13 to 17, "You call me teacher and Lord, and it is right that you do so, because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You then should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you so that you will do just what I have done for you. I'm telling you the truth. Slaves are never greater than their master, and messengers are never greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice." So what does Jesus mean when he lays this challenge down to his followers? Well, I don't believe he was saying that we literally need to wash one another's feet. Some of you might be pleased to hear that tonight. Clearly, this was a task that was common practice in Jesus' day, and it isn't so today. However, it is true that if you have taken part in a service where this has happened, it really is quite a humbling experience. But what is more important is the attitude that Jesus had in performing this task, where he showed humility in his service to others. And what he's saying is that as his followers, we should also set an example by humbly serving one another. Now, I think this is an attitude that is very counterculture. Today, much of our society is obsessed with the concept of me. Why is there so much obsession about celebrity? Is it because people want all the attention for themselves? They want their egos boosted. They want to be more than popular. They want to be idolised. The same can often be true in business or other work environments, where people are ruthless and treat each other with very little respect just to be able to push themselves forward and gain for themselves. Our society today is centred on me, and that's the message that people often portray. You need to look after number one because no one else will. What a contrast to the example that Jesus set for us to follow, where he encouraged us to serve one another. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we need to be doormats and let people walk all over us. There is a difference in showing humility and in being humiliated. But it is perhaps about having a different mindset, where we aren't proud or arrogant or boastful, but where we show respect to everyone and where we're prepared to help and serve them. Perhaps it means ensuring that our words to others are positive and encouraging rather than negative or putting them down. Perhaps sometimes we need to think of the tone we use to speak to our closest friend and ensure that we don't speak in a sharper way to someone else who we don't click with as much. Maybe it is really as simple as doing those jobs that no one else wants to do, just in order to serve them. Now, there are two practical points that I think it will be helpful to highlight tonight, which may help us to follow the example that Jesus has set for us in the right kind of way. The first is that our ability to serve comes out of an understanding of who we are. Our ability to serve comes out of an understanding of who we are. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he did so from a deep understanding of his own identity. He wasn't serving them to try and impress them or to win their favour. He had no need to do so. His humility was genuine and sincere, and it came from his understanding of who he was as the Son of God. We heard it at the beginning of that reading. He knew he had come from God. He knew he was returning to God. He knew who he was, and he knew what he was about to do through his death. And it was in knowing that identity that he was able to save. Now, likewise, when we're serving others, it needs to be out of an understanding of who we are. We are children of God. And as such, we are dependent upon what Jesus has done for us. Jesus was prepared to humble himself to death on the cross for us. So can we really say that we aren't prepared to do the lowliest of tasks for one another? And yet at the same time, we need to understand that as children of God, we are heirs to his kingdom. We don't serve others because we see ourselves as inferior or worthless. We have been chosen, each of us, as his precious child. What could make us more important than that? And it's from that identity that we are choosing to follow our Lord's example and serve other people. To sum this up, I remember once being told that in order to be humble, you need to not think too highly of yourself, but at the same time, not think too lowly of yourself. And perhaps that will help us to have the right kind of attitude to serve one another. So the first bit of advice is about us. It's about our identity as children of God and our corresponding attitude. The second bit of advice is about others. Have you noticed that Jesus doesn't encourage us to serve the people we like or to serve the people who've already served us first? He says he's set an example for us to follow. And just look at what that example included. In verse 18, Jesus goes on to say, "But the scripture must come true that says, 'The man who shared my food turned against me.'" What Jesus is alluding to here is that he knows at that point that Judas is going to betray him. Imagine how that feels, knowing that one of your closest friends is going to let you down like that. Perhaps you don't need to imagine, perhaps you know. Perhaps you've experienced someone you trusted betraying you or turning against you, in which case you know how much that hurts. I have no doubt that Jesus felt the depth of that pain too. And yet Jesus washes the feet of Judas. Now that's humility and servanthood on a completely different level. For Jesus, the depth of his love and the example that he set in service was not dependent upon how other people treated him. It was unconditional. It was all-encompassing. It was for everyone, whether they loved him, whether they respected him or not. And that, to me, is quite an amazing example to follow. Because serving others shouldn't be dependent upon how they treat us. It should be the same for everyone. The reality is, that is very hard to do. And yet that is the example that Jesus has set for us. And if we as the church are able to model that to one another, and also model that to those who are not yet part of church, then that's the kind of lifestyle that points people towards Jesus, because it's rooted in his love and in his compassion for others and in our identity as children of God. This is the kind of love that Jesus wants us to show through the way we treat one another. It's not about serving out of a sense of duty or out of obligation. It's serving because we want to follow his example and we want to obey him. Perhaps as we begin to follow that, we will begin to experience all that Jesus says in verse 17 when he says, "Now that we know this truth, how happy we will be if we put it into practice." Let's pause for a few moments to reflect on God's word to us, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we are truly amazed of all that you have done for us, of the depth of your love for us, shown in the sacrifice that Jesus made. And Lord, we are aware of our own failings and of how much we need you. Lord, we thank you for your love and for your forgiveness. And we thank you that through you we have a fresh start and a new hope and a new life ahead. And Lord, as we embrace that tonight, we pray that by your Spirit, you would also help us to model that love to others, to show humility, to show compassion, to be prepared to serve others no matter how they've treated us, and to become more aware of who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen.